The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. He that is wounded in the stones, speaking of the testicles, or has his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And so this law forbade emasculated men to join in Israel's worship services. They could trust God, they could be saved, but they could not attend the public worship services. Like many of God's regulations, this one had symbolic value. God demands that any sacrifices which are offered to him be perfect, and God demands that worshipers be perfect before him. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, they could be perfectly acceptable before God, but God was making a point here, as he did with many things in the Old Testament day. Verse 2, "An illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord." Sexual purity for the Israelites was a top priority with God, and we certainly saw that in the last chapter. And to drive home his displeasure with that type of sin, he excludes the child of any sort of a illegitimate birth from the worship services. What would that be? That would be a child that was the result of incest or cult prostitute or mixed marriage with a heathen or anything else that you could possibly think of that would fit that definition. And again, this child would not be excluded from having a relationship with God or being saved. Again, God is making a point. 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not hearken to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing to you, because the Lord your God loved you. When Israel was out there in the wilderness, Moab and Ammon did not lift a finger to help them. They would not show Israel not even the least bit of common courtesy. Actually, they almost succeeded in destroying the Israelites through that sorcerer for hire, Balaam. And consequently, no Moabite, no Ammonite was ever allowed to join in on the worship services. Verse 6, "You shall not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all your days forever." In other words, don't do those people any favors. Moab and Ammon were wicked and perverted from their very beginning. And Israel was to stay clear of them because they were nothing but trouble. This is God protecting his people once again. Strict, yes. Narrow, you bet. That's the nature of truth, isn't it? That certainly is the nature of the Word of God. It is strict, it is narrow. And so many so-called open-minded preachers today who presume to call themselves Christians want to take this broad-minded approach to Scripture because it's so popular. But it is a deadly approach, and they're going to answer to God for it. 7, "You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation." Edom was descended from Jacob's brother Esau. Of course, Jacob, another name for Israel. So Edom, the nation Edom, were the descendants of Israel's brother Esau. And so they were given a break. Egypt also was given a break, because Israel was incubated in that country as a nation. Next verse, verse 9. When the host goes forth against your enemies, then keep you from every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that chances by him or chances him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp, and shall not come inside the camp. But it shall be when evening comes on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again. So spiritual purity was of supreme importance in Israel, but so was physical purity. And any nighttime emission by a man made him unclean for a day. Of course, we've covered this in detail already. 12. You shall have a place also outside the camp where you shall go forth abroad, and you shall have a paddle upon your weapon, and it shall be when you will ease yourself abroad, you shall dig therewith, and shall turn back and cover that which comes from you. And so all bodily waste had to be buried. 14. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore shall your camp be holy, that he see no unclean in you and turn away from you. These two laws, the two previous laws, served as important reminders. On those private occasions, when no one else is around, God is around. And decency and cleanliness was to be the rule at all times. If for no other reason, then out of respect for the ever-present God. Verse 15. You shall not deliver to his master the servant which is escaped from his master to you. He shall dwell with you, even among you, in that place which he shall choose in one of your gates, where it likes him, or it says where it pleases him best. You shall not oppress him. Slaves from other countries who came to Israel seeking asylum and seeking refuge were to be given that protection. Political allies back in those days usually had an understanding. Any escaped slave could be returned to his homeland and to his master. But Israel didn't have to agree to that sort of thing because, actually, you know what? They didn't need any allies. They had God. He's the only ally that they needed. 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. The ungodly religion of those days used to practice temple prostitution. And God slams the door to that garbage right there in this verse. Before Israel even has a chance to think about it, he slams the door shut. Whether it's male or female prostitution, doesn't matter. Men with women, doesn't matter. Verse 18, you shall not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord your God for any vow, for even both these are abomination to the Lord your God. And this verse is talking about male and female prostitutes in general, not temple prostitutes. Just talking about prostitutes. Money received from a sinful practice like that was rejected by God. He didn't want the tithes of somebody who made their money through prostitution. I mean, that's like robbing a bank today and saying, well, I think I'm going to be religious. I'm going to pay God the tithe of what I have taken. You think God wants that? No, and he didn't want it back then either. Verse 19, you shall not lend, upon usury to your brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. What kind of help would it be to borrow a desperate fellow Israelite some money and then charge him interest? Not much. He'd just be in a deeper hole and probably feel even more pressure. The needs of others should be seen as an opportunity to be kind, not as an opportunity to make some extra money. 20. To a stranger, you may lend upon usury, but to your brother you shall not lend upon usury, that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you set your hand to in the land where you go to possess it. The foreigner here would be someone outside the covenant of God. Someone rejecting the one true God should not enjoy the benefits and the blessings that belong to God's people. 21. When you shall vow a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not slack to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin in you. But if you shall forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in you. That which has gone out of your lips, you shall keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as you have vowed to the Lord your God, which you have promised with your mouth. Very important principle here. Words mean something to God. They really do. So if an Israelite, or if we as Christians make a promise to God, that thing is chiseled in stone as far as God is concerned, and it must be kept. 24. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, then you may eat grapes your fill at your own pleasure, but you shall not put any in your vessel. When you come into the standing corn of your neighbor, then you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not move a sickle and your neighbor standing corn. So a man needed to be willing to share his food with a hungry person who just happened to be passing by his property. But that didn't mean that the passerby had a right to load the back of his pickup and drive away with half his harvest, or just exactly what God said here, not to abuse the goodwill of his neighbor who was willing to share. And also it would be an abuse of the law of God.